Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, Rob Ray with Shope and the Bulldog. Rob Ray's appearance on WGR is brought to you by Jim's Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. By Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by Steve Foley Law, settle for more today. Settle for more with Steve Foley. Call 249-2222.
I saw you playing some hockey Monday night.
Yeah. Were you there?
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't you come down?
I was there.
Were you on after?
No. Yeah, I didn't do a post-game show for the Sabres alumni versus the Lawyers.
No, after they had the cross ice, all the old men were on the
No. I was there. My son, Owen, was doing some workouts on the other rink. But Sabres alumni played a team of Lawyers.
Yes. A team of Lawyers.
A team of Lawyers.
And were the scales tipped in their favor?
Yeah. No, they worked too much.
Sorry. Yeah, and you weren't moving that good.
I only played I didn't want to hurt myself. There was a lot of guys in our lineup that came a long ways.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, you guys go play.
Whose net worth was greater? Collective net worth? The hockey players or the Lawyers?
Probably the Lawyers, because it was a lot of older guys still. Only a handful of really young guys.
Right.
Were you much the better team?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I like the way you answered that.
Yeah, you I it's funny, somebody took a picture of the goalie from your the other end of the ice, and I was standing behind the glass right behind that net for the first period of that game. And I showed up in this picture on Twitter. The guy's like, hey, is that you? How'd I do? And I'm like, man, it is hell playing those guys. Like, I haven't been on the ice with the I played against the alumni when the Northtown Center opened. And the thing I remember is that that was Fred Stanfield and Danny, Larry Playfair, and Gilbert was there. That was great. Rick Martin. Everyone, they're not even trying, and they're just in the right places. They're just everywhere you want to go with the puck because you're lazy and stupid and not that good. They're just waiting. They know where you're going to. I go back to get the puck out of the corner, and they know exactly where I'm going to go.
10,000 hours, baby.
It's like,
that's what that's worth.
I didn't know. Why are you there?
That's when you. That's the play smarter instead of faster.
Right. Like, so you guys, you don't even really have to try, but you can't help it. I think in a certain way, you're just, you know, it just comes out. Like, we're still.
You know what it is? You could play those games, and sometimes you play a lot of the younger guys, and they're going to come at you 100 miles an hour. And you just barely have to move sometimes and just anticipate where the puck's going and the puck movement.
Right.
Because they're not moving the puck the same way. So it's like you get it, bang, I know that guy's going to be there. You can put it over there. And you can get them running around like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So you can really wear those speedy young guys down that are going to conquer the world.
I love you guys who play hockey at night. I was with a friend last night. Guy does some money stuff for me. And, you know, he's got two little kids. I've got two young children. We're talking. He's like, yeah, isn't it you're just constantly on the move? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I got to get my workout in before they get up or else I don't have any time to do it. I said, oh, really? And then we're talking for a while. He's like, I got to get going. I've got a class tonight. Like, he's taking a class online toward a degree. I'm like, wow, that's good for you. Yeah, I mean, I'll let you go. And then I realized I was keeping him a little bit too long. And I said, hey, I forgot. You got to get going. He's like, yeah, I'm sorry. I got to get this class in. I got a hockey game at 10:30. I mean, I hate myself for trying to relate to his first point about how kids make you tired. 10:30 hockey game.
Yeah, it's late.
What are you, the Kings?
I I don't do that. I did it for like maybe a year or two after we were done playing.
Yeah.
You know, played in a men's league. And
no,
that was
these
it.
Guys, yeah. We have these late ice times the last this year, especially with the Regals at Holiday. My kid was on the ice till 10:45. And there's guys rolling in with cases of beer, and they're like ready to. And I'm not. These are like 35, 40 year old guys,
and
like,
they're going to play until after midnight. Here we sit go. Around until after one, and have a few beers, go home, and get up and go to work in the morning.
Right.
That's
I just can't
that's
even
dedicated.
Fathom.
I guess. Yeah.
That is a dedication to the game and the love of the game.
Right. I'm so shot. My next day was often challenging for me just from getting home. At like midnight from the practice, I didn't even do anything. I didn't drink any beers. I just went to bed at midnight, and I'm like, "Oh man, I'm dragging hockey practice last night." Oh, you played? No, I just had to drive my kid.
Getting dressed for hockey takes too long, let alone playing.
It is an art, though, these guys, but they love it. These guys love it. Like you go out and watch some of these guys are some of them are old men, like older men.
Our boss, Alan Davis.
You know, I go to the Pepsi Center, and it's not always, you know, late. It's never late at night because I never have to be there. But you go in there in the afternoons or evenings, and you see these guys coming in that are, you know, 60, 70 years old, some of them, and they're still plugging away, playing. Yep, it's amazing.
Is there anybody amongst the alumni that is – how many of the guys are guys that you got to, like, pull aside of the measure, like, hey, calm down?
Not now. Those guys have kind of weeded out a little bit.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
You're going too hard.
I think the oldest guys now would be like your maybe Rick Seeling, maybe, that still plays.
Yeah.
He might be the oldest.
Yeah, he was there a lot on Monday. I saw him.
Does anybody ever take a run at you?
No.
That's never happened?
Not in those kind of games, but that was what happened in the men's league that when you played.
Yeah.
They take it pretty serious.
Right.
And it was like you're always coming at you 100 times harder than the other guy. And I was like, dude, come on.
I'm just trying to stay in shape. You know,
just having fun. And they're still playing for the cup.
Right. They're like, I got a chance to take out Rob Ray. Right. Yeah.
The guy who tweets me about whether Alabama could beat the Bills wants to know how the Sabres would do against. Anyway, so did you talk to Ryan O'Reilly at all Sunday?
A little bit.
How did he seem to you? Was he?
He seemed pretty excited about being back. Seemed pretty happy about his situation there. You know how they have got it turned around, and you know just kind of talked. You know it just took a while to everybody kind of get together, and I think the coaching changed there.
Yeah,
was,
right. They had to fire Mike Yeo to Berube, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
If I were O'Reilly, I would be thrilled that the Sabres aren't good. How about you?
I think when you leave, you hope for the worst for the team you left.
Right.
Yeah.
Does that make
and even though you got friends there, you hope your friends do well in maybe every other game other than maybe the one you play against. And then there's other guys that hope you do well or you don't do well every game.
Like O'Reilly kind of – the way it looked anyway, he got the blame for last year.
Yeah, but he kind of opened that door to get blamed.
Okay.
Too.
Well, he might think he deserves it or he might not.
Like, no, I think that's how life is. Would. I don't think it was his – play per se or you know I think it was just the way he acted and talked that it kind of opened that door that hey this is we can blame this guy here you go
being traded signifies
you're a big reason why we had issues here so I think if I was him on that in that case you'd take a little offense to it maybe but
you wouldn't want it to like run your life.
No,
but
I don't
think
it would.
Right, yeah, that kind of thing. Like,
I don't think he was here long enough to have that happen.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I think
that. Yeah,
I
3 years.
That
3 years.
Can keep you from having like the kind of outlook you really want to have. Yeah. If you're focused on it, but sure, you want the guy that you know the group that said you're the reason we're not you know this isn't working. I don't think you want them to do well when you
No,
leave.
I don't think you want to do well. But I think that he's a smart enough guy, too, to understand that I think when it was all said and done, if he looked back at everything that happened and everything that was said along the way, that he would say, hey, I got to take a little bit of that blame myself for not for how things went, but maybe for the reaction that the people had. Well, it's a tough town to come out and say, I lost my, everything that he said.
I know.
Especially here. That's not, there's certain towns you can get away with that. And I don't think this is a town you can when, it's a blue-collar, hardworking town and you're sitting there getting paid boku bucks and you lose the passion or you just, I could have been better. I should be better.
To me, it never mattered. It shouldn't matter what city you're in where you say that. To me, it was completely reasonable for any player to have been miserable through that season. Here was a guy, I think most people who talked about it took the angle that he should be better than that, that he should know not to say it. I'm thinking, I don't care about whether he says it, I care about whether he thinks it.
Yeah.
And about whether he feels it. That he says it is, after the fact. And I would have been miserable too.
But I think in the that case, even if you felt it and you believed it, go to Botts, go to the coach, go to whomever, and say, hey, this is where I am right now. This is where I am. This mentally, this is the position I'm in. Maybe we should just do something different. Instead of coming out and saying it and letting everybody that, paid a lot of money to watch the guy play over the last few years and, jerseys and support and all that kind
of
thing.
I respect
because
that.
When he came here, people were excited and then arms were open and they were jacked about this guy getting here. Mm-hmm. And then when it kind of goes in that direction, then they feel let down or taken advantage of, I would think. And that's why even whatever did happen or whatever he felt probably is one of those times when it should have stayed internally and dealt with that way.
Maybe. The one thing about him, maybe we just talked about this the other day, but the one thing about him, though, it was never in his play. You could never look at his play.
No, it's never noticeable.
And go, this guy is letting us down because he's miserable. He had the hardest job in the league playing those minutes for this franchise.
Yeah, and he played the same way every night. There was no question on his effort when he was on the ice.
Right. And guys like that, where you can go, here is proof I'm not getting what I need to get. I can hold a grudge against that guy with anybody.
Yeah.
But O'Reilly just never was that player to me. You just did not have – he played every night. Mm-hmm. He played in his own zone all the time.
Yep.
He took every draw. He had the worst matchups in the league, last place team against the best players game after game after game. It's history now. He was just here, and I don't always have to drag it out. It's just, we're still trying to figure out what the deal is here. Why isn't this team good at all yet? And O'Reilly was maybe the solution, and then he became the problem, and now he's gone, and we're still, struggling.
He is on his way to, 80 points. He usually has 60, so he was capable of more.
that variance happens.
But it's a little better team, and he's got a little more run support there, too, as well, and you're playing with a little different guys, and, there's a lot of things that you can kind of put into that scenario.
Yeah. I'd love to know if he never said what he said after the season. What happens? Does he still get traded anyways? I was thinking he made sense to trade just because what else am I going to change on this team of significance if it's not him? And that was long before he ever said anything.
I don't think he would.
I wonder because I think for the organization, I don't know. There's no knowing for sure what's in a guy's heart. But I think Ryan O'Reilly should be savvy enough to know that if he stands in front of a bunch of microphones and says what he said, that he's basically asking to be traded because his bosses are going to go, I can't.
But
it
wasn't just once either. That was multiple times that he had come out and said.
Well, never quite to the extent.
It's me, which is fine and it's cool once in a while, but you don't make a habit of it.
But they would never have had a conversation. They probably had.
Yeah, they probably
lots
had plenty
of conversations.
Plenty, but I don't think that if he had to come out and maybe put them in the position of, hey, this guy, what did he say? To have him back, I think it would have been pretty difficult even on him to win everybody over again, and even especially if you're coming back in and the result is what we have so far this year, I think he may be getting
a lot different,
friggin' crucified.
Do I want to go around this room and ask everybody if they're feeling good?
I wouldn't, because it's all Leaf fans in here right now.
Oh, I don't
think they're feeling that good about themselves. They're not quite as vocal and active as what they were a few months ago.
You think they're worried?
I think they are. That's I think they should be.
They are a super interesting team right now. Right? They're losing a little bit. They're going to get a good – I mean, they're going to have a very tough time winning two rounds, maybe even one, with the matchups that are ahead of them. And one has been their threshold. Like, they've made it and lost. So this is time, you know, the Tavares move. This is when it's time to move forward. And if they don't do that, and you have some coach versus GM scuttlebutt right now.
Yep.
Babcock is locked in there for lots of money and years. And, you know, then they're going to have roster stuff
to deal with. I think it would be easier in their case to point the finger at the general manager maybe a little bit, because I think people right now are really questioning why something didn't happen on their back end at the trade deadline. Maybe why didn't they bring in something that gave them a little more maybe toughness or, you know, that type of play. So there's questions on why things didn't happen. So more of the attention is being put on general manager than coach. So even if there is that internal, you know, maybe rift, if this true or not, who knows, then I think it's much easier to maybe escape with one, because he wasn't the one making the deals, or he wasn't. You know, I sit there and I look. If I was a Leaf fan, I'd be kind of upset right now that, hey, you signed Nylander to what you did, which was a lot of dough for a long time, where you could have maybe used that as a bargaining tool to bring in that defenseman that you need right now, that where you're most vulnerable in your lineup. That could have totally changed your team right there, but now you signed a guy. He's not producing the way you hoped he was going to, or thought he was going to, and your back end is depleting, and that's your most vulnerable spot right now.
Yep. Or
maybe next to your goaltending, that, you know, you got, you know, Anderson that plays out of his mind, or he's not so good, and your backup is not so good, and he hadn't been from day one.
Well, the move to get Muzzin was to address the toughness. And he fits that bill.
Yeah.
What's happened is they lost Dermott and they lost Gardner to injury. Gardner's a
and elite Gardner might not be back.
Right.
Who knows?
So yeah, that, but that was after the trade deadline. So what are you supposed to do then?
Well, you have to plan on having depth in that area.
Yeah.
And if you're a team that is planning on going for it, well, you know, 2 months ago you'd had to think that the Leafs were definitely a team that could go for it. And if you're going to talk about high powered offense, they've got it. They, you know, your goaltender can be good. If there was a team out there that was going to be able to go maybe head to head with Tampa Bay, you would have thought maybe that might have been the team that could go. But right now, you're going to look at your backside and go, this is where we're going to get broken down, or where it could cost us.
We'll see. It'll be interesting.
Interesting. It may not. Who knows?
In my mind, Nylander is exactly the player they signed. He's giving them exactly what they have the right to expect. He's really good. That Muzzin was a nice idea. Babcock, it costs a lot of money, and he has credibility in the sport and people in the sport.
Yeah, but it costs a lot of money, but that doesn't go to your cap or anything.
They're no, just, I know.
But it's an organization that's got they P money.
I know. In the future, if they decide between the two, there are reasons why Babcock would have advantages over a guy like Dubas, who's new and maybe more easily, more disposable.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean he hasn't done the right things along the way. Like, Babcock would probably win. I don't know. Like, I'm not on the inside, of course, but I would guess he would win a struggle. And they haven't lost yet. You know, they could have done all these things right, or the way someone else would have wanted them to do it. They still wouldn't be Tampa Bay. I mean, they are. Nobody's going to be Tampa Bay this year. You can win.
Yeah, but don't you think when you have a team maybe as good as what they should have at this point, that you'd be looking forward, going, okay, who's the team that we got to beat here? Obviously, they worry about Boston because it's a tight physical game. They feel like they may get. But even if you did get past that,
Tampa,
you still got Tampa.
Right.
To
but
so why wouldn't you start building your team towards how do we beat Tampa? What do we need here to beat Tampa?
Yeah. What's the answer, though? Like, they have 116 points.
I know.
Nine games left.
But you
can't blame them for not
something.
Being as good as Tampa.
Right. You need to find an 80-point guy who makes $600,000, which is like what Tampa's
or,
got.
Or just make sure that your defensive core, you've got oodles of depth there that you can
I don't know what practically
play shut down in your own zone and just hope that you get the breaks at the other end. Because they're going to create scoring chances. But you got to get those guys the puck.
I mean, if they could take the best defenseman in the league just from someone for free, then, okay, maybe you have that. But I don't know how they accomplish that any other way. Tampa is having maybe the best regular season we've ever seen. But the playoffs, you know, there's so much randomness in it. Who knows?
Well,
Boston doesn't have to beat them. Boston is super good defensively, and Toronto has a lot offensively. That's been a good series.
But when it
before.
Comes down to winning, in your mind, do you think that over a seven-game series, is offense going to come out on top, or
sure.
strong defense going to?
No, I would take. I'd want goals. I'd want to be the Lightning. That's what I. That's
yeah, but Lightning's got a little of each. You know, they still
great.
Have very good defense.
Yeah,
you know, these guys, they have depth there.
On the goalie's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob.
We're done already.
We're late.
It took forever.
The lawyers.
Have a good broadcast. Have a good broadcast.
They
we'll see
always take everything.
Right.
Blame the lawyers.
Rob's
everything. Appearance with us here brought to you by Jim's Stakeout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. By Firth Jewelers, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by Steve Foley Law, settle for more today. Settle for more with Steve Foley. Call 249-2222.
All right. The Sabres, the rest of the season, the offseason, UB and the tournament. The Bills and the NFL draft. We'll talk about these things. We are here for your calls on these subjects and maybe others. We'll see. 803-0550 is the number. Sabres and Leafs tonight here downtown. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog at 716. This is WGR.
The last time a really high-profile coach got in this situation, it came down to between Buffalo and Toronto, and Mike Babcock picked Toronto. Buffalo is even better now, and it's going to take a deep-pocketed owner to buy Joel Quenneville out of that last year of his Chicago contract.
It's a great opportunity. Eichel, can he turn the corner and become that? He is a superstar, but he's got to become that guy that can lead a team. Dahlin's going to be a year older. We'll see what he can bring. Maybe they still have to show up their goaltending, but I think that's a situation you might look at and say, that's something I can work with.
Longtime NHLers Dave Poole and Jeff O'Neill. In Toronto on TSN radio, talking about Joel Quenneville and the Sabres. I mean, really, who am I to say, right? Like, I can barely skate, but there's a difference between what Jack Eichel is and what he would be if the rest of the team was better. Like, that would constitute leading them. How about playing the same way and getting a lot of the baggage off the roster? Then he would be something different? Maybe. Here at 716, anybody, any thoughts on that? 803-0550. I'm not like that excited for Quenneville. I'm really not. Like, to me, that isn't that important. I think there are lots and lots and lots of coaching people that could be the right choice. And it doesn't have to be somebody that's been a coach for 25 years or whatever it is. Like, I don't need to get older here. I'd like new thinking. I'd like, you know, I don't have to have that. That's what I'm saying. Do you have a strong feeling on that?
I would cut myself right here and bleed to have Joel Quenneville be their coach. It's just like Babcock. Like, there's a credibility with it. It's even a cut beyond. Sorry to say, cut again. It's closer to Babcock than it is to Bylsma. Because it's multiple cups, and it's someone who's got there's a reputation there. Look, that doesn't mean it has to work, and that some guy from college couldn't do as good a job. Like, I believe there's lots of guys that could do it, but I think the credibility that he would have would mean something. So, you know, like, I'm all for it. You know, it's funny hearing those guys talking about Quenneville. It sounds like how, like, when we first started talking about Babcock, well, you know, like, really, you're gonna go get that guy? Why would he want to come here? Well, all the draft picks, and Jack Eichel's gonna be here, and yada 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 yada. And, like, I know he didn't pick Buffalo, but, like, he was in the parking ramp. I mean, like, they got close to getting him. And, like, this Quenneville conversation, you know, there's a lot of why would he want the job, which I think is nuts, because I think what those guys just said is why you'd want the job. I've got kingpin players already. I mean, I know I'm living in a place where we have learned how hard it is to fill in around that. you should be able to do that. You should be able to find people to score goals on Jack Eichel's right wing. You should be able to fill in the rest of your lineup reasonably well once you've got a guy on both ends now of the ice that should be, you know, stars, superstars, franchise cornerstone players.
It's two different things for me. It's you know, doing the job well. Like, is he going to play guys that have performed better than other guys? Because this coach doesn't do that. Is he going to, like, keep Sam Reinhart on his own line when there's evidence that that's a good idea? Or, like, because this coach doesn't do that. This coach played, what, 1,300 games and has been an assistant coach since, and he doesn't know how to do that. So if, you know, if Joel Quenneville, if you would just assume he would do all those things well, which I wouldn't, like, maybe, but guys that have been in it for a long time are not always the quickest to seeing things the new ways. If he would do all that, then I'll take anybody who would do all that, because that would be better than what's happening. The other thing is you know, perception and credibility.
Yeah.
And the Sabres lack for that.
Yeah.
And he would provide that. And if they hired some super smart coach out of the, you know, Hockey East, which is what the Rangers did, it was good enough for them. But if the Sabres did that, they might suffer for credibility. But what they have done, like, Bylsma happened. And Housley is a Hall of Famer. You know, they have not scrimped. They have not done my thing yet. They have done this yet already.
Yeah.
They have not done my thing yet. And I don't know where that leaves the GM. Maybe it's not worth worrying about if it were to happen, but Quenneville comes in with all the clout he wants. And he would get whatever he wanted, which I don't want to, I'm not going to live in fear of that, you know.
Right.
Like, but nothing has worked.
Right, but it could be that could be tricky. Like we were just talking about with Rob, what is, you know, Quenneville would clearly, like, hockey reputation-wise, I mean, rings, it's close. I mean, he was the coach for a team that won rings, and Bottrell is an assistant GM. So it's, you know, the fingerprints, you know, are not as easily discernible that Bottrell is the architect or something. I mean, he's the assistant, you know. So like Quenneville would immediately outrank him, I think, like, just within the organization. Like, it just, there would be a new big, there'd be a king. And that's what maybe Toronto's dealing with, is they've got Babcock and it's all this huge money, and their GM is, you know, he never played. Like that's just the GM.
We'll see if it comes to that.
Yeah.
We'll see if it comes to that. I mean, but they also have Brendan Shanahan, and they also have lots of, like, stars.
Yeah.
You know, like, they, I don't know. This is what happens. You get to a point where you have to improve and you have to win, and it's been great for them to be what they've been the last couple of years, and it was a big jump, but now it's time for the next jump, and they might be feeling the pressure.
Yeah,
you know, he might be the GM, who knows, like, I don't know any of these people, but they might be. They have a problem. They have the Lightning. You know, we have the Patriots.
I mean, that's a hell of a problem, right? I mean, how much are you supposed to do to fix that problem?
I mean, right. Like, Rob wants to address your defense. Tell me how exactly. What were they supposed to do? Go take Eric Carlson?
You can't,
like,
go find.
You can't just go take Eric Carlson.
Right.
Like,
I mean, they
what
lost,
are you supposed to do?
They lost guys. I mean, you know, it's funny. I'm not as in touch, even maybe as I used to be, with, like, what's going on up there. But, like, Twitter does keep you somewhat informed. And, like, Gardner, there was a point in the season where Gardner was getting booed. And, like, I don't know. I know, like, there's a certain Toronto, you know, this hockey fan is everywhere. He's here, too. It's just not as many of them because it's, well, it's however many millions of people versus whatever we're talking about down here. But Gardner is getting booed, and he's a problem because he's not mean and he's not big and he's not tough and whatever. And what he is a great puck mover. Like, he's fantastic at that. And nobody probably up there that's mad about how tough the Leafs aren't on defense wants to admit that they're missing him. But they miss him. That's what they're missing. It's just, how do you not see that? So, you're not going to go trade for a guy that can replicate what he does for you. Like, he's probably going to leave as a free agent and get a huge contract.
Deservedly.
Yeah, and, like, what? You can't replace that. I mean, they've got young guys. Like, Sandin is playing in the AHL, but, you know, he's only maybe 2 years removed from his draft. Or is it even one? I don't know what happened. Like, he's not ready. So what are you supposed to do?
Well, yeah, I mean, they'll have a tough bracket, but that doesn't mean they have to lose.
No, nope.
We'll have this to figure out when they lose or if they lose. And I would trade places with them in a minute. You know, it's be great right now to sit there right and have like arguing. Or
yeah, be really nervous about how your team is coasting down the stretch.
I'd love to visit.
You know. I'd be nervous about guys getting back that I need. Gardner at the top of the list, obviously. Like, they need him if they're gonna win anything in the playoffs. They're gonna need him back, and there's no real. I don't know how optimistic anybody is about that because it all sounds pretty vague to me.
I don't want Quenneville. I want the next Quenneville. I want smart people in these organizations who know how to find that. And I'm still waiting for any evidence that exists. Anybody can tell you Joel Quenneville. Oh, Stanley Cups. Oh, Bylsma, same thing. Housley, played for the Sabres. Look at his career. Look at Nashville. Like, this is also easy. How about either one of these teams, like, find the guy. Find the guy who's the next guy. Maybe McDermott is it. Like, I think there are things about McDermott that I just can't stand next to. I mean, things he said. It's not him personally. It's just, you know, certain comments about how he sees the game, how he sees the sport, that make me worry that that's not going to blossom exactly. But I don't have to be right about that. And so he, at least to me, like he was a credible idea and remains a credible figure.
Yep, like that, I think so.
That's still active. Otherwise, like I don't know. We'll see. Like, I have no idea whether Joel Quenneville would be up for it. Like, it's the so-called irresistible force and the immovable object. If a guy with Stanley Cup rings as a coach can make the Buffalo Sabres good, you know, like that's like the ultimate test, right? Scotty Bowman took a shot at that in his day, you know, and the Sabres were okay. They still didn't beat the top teams in the division.
Right.
They still didn't get there, but whatever, that doesn't matter. Be interesting to talk about.
Yeah.
Usually these things come down to that for me.
Yeah.
Would they be interesting to talk about? Yes.
I'm not against them doing what you're suggesting. I just don't see any sort of reason to hope for it at this point. So, like, what are my alternatives? My alternatives are hiring someone whose name we know? Okay, great. Go get that guy. Go get him. But I'm not doing a deep dive on it. You know, I mean, it's so you're right. It's easy to say. That doesn't make it wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, like, fine. They've got the money to pay him. All right. They were going to pay Babcock whatever they were willing to pay Babcock, whatever the Leafs are paying him. So, all right. Let's take a run at that.
I just always wondered on Housley, I've always wondered what percent of Jason Botterill was into that idea, like, was there for that. The Rick Tocchet rumors were there that they were going to talk to him, that he was a finalist, and then that just poof. Like, the insiders who reported on that all stopped doing it. There was no explanation for it. There was no real explanation from the Sabres for it. It just poof. And so, did ownership like the idea of a Sabres, if you will, legend coaching the team? Like, that's not going to be, that wouldn't be my word for it. He was a great player for them. Doesn't matter. You know what I mean. Did they think that was relevant in hiring him? Maybe not. Did Botterill, like, I don't know the answers to any of these questions.
Yeah.
Did he go upstairs, like, I really need Phil Housley? I don't know. If he didn't, and they fire him, then you know what this one's going to be? Guys that get fed information, we know what they're going to say this time? They're going to say this time he gets to decide. None of this, like, this is all, we'll wait. I don't know if this coach is getting fired in the first place. You think so?
I don't know how else you proceed. I mean, there's games here, you know, but
Well, they played Detroit and Ottawa a few times,
right.
So they could actually end
yeah.
pretty well
yeah.
and pass that off Man. As significant. I don't know.
Yeah.
Jason Botterill will be with us at 6 today, a little bit later than usual when he visits into the pregame show. We'll allow it. 803-0550 is our number here at 716. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
All right, caller 5 right now is going to win a $25 gift card to Top Shelf Laundromat. General contest rules apply. Please call 644-9878. Again, that's caller 5. Visit Top Shelf's new third location on Eggert Road by the Twin City Highway in Tonawanda. Good luck.
Quick NFL draft thing, and then next hour we'll get back to the Sabres. Phil Housley's future, the Leafs being here, will open the phone lines up to fans who might want to talk about that. We'll want to talk about that. There was a story yesterday about how the Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals, met with Kyler Murray. Do you think if they draft Kyler Murray that, like, what percent likelihood is there that Rosen is traded? Does it have to be 100%?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so let's say they want to do that.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of speculation in that direction already. Let's say they want to do that. Then where are they at right now, do you think, with Rosen? Do you think maybe, like, I could see this being the case, that they have a deal with Miami or a team like Miami already, like, figured out?
Mm-hmm.
And then when that happens, so you like this so far? You're with this so far?
Sure.
So then when that happens, how does Adam Schefter and how does Ian Rappaport not know? How do they not know? Do you think that they know and just won't, like they've agreed to not say it? Is there any chance of that?
I think there's absolutely a chance of that. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to sound like I know it, but sure.
I don't either.
I wouldn't count anything out.
Like if there is that trade,
yeah.
Where's the report? Because the Cardinals would have reason to not want to do that now. Maybe they can trade down and know they can still get Kyler Murray. Like, maybe. You know how teams are.
Yeah.
That's certainly how they're described. So if that's right, they would have a plan for Rosen. Right? They wouldn't just wait until the draft.
No. No, they would have had to already be sort of establishing what some parameters of what that trade, I think. I mean, unless what? I mean, could you keep it all to yourself until, like, how quickly did the Giants and the Browns work out the Odell Beckham trade? It sounds like it pretty fast.
Their GM said 10 hours.
Yeah. Look, that to me, that's nothing. I don't think that's that long at all. Like, we'll sit here with Bottrell, and, like, I think he talked to teams about trading Ryan O'Reilly last February, and then in July did it, you know? So
it's interesting how this is a different point, but, like, the Gettleman – They say that GMs sometimes tell you how fast a deal was, and they think it impresses you. Like, really, aren't most good decisions decisions that you take time with? Like, the Bills and that story about trading for McCoy on a boat. Like, we were supposed to be impressed.
Right.
That you figured out. We knew in 5 minutes to make that trade. Okay. Like, if I thought about things that I decided in 5 minutes, it might not be that flattering a list of things. But they say, I don't know why, that's a different point. They kind of almost brag about how little time it took.
Right.
It gives them plausible deniability for all the times in other press conferences they told you nothing was going on.
Right.
If it did take weeks, then they can't get away with that.
Yeah, what I'm trying to get out here is they could wait until they really know we're going to draft Kyler Murray, and maybe they know that already, maybe they don't. And then, but once they know that, then, okay, let's get on the horn with the Giants or whoever we think we can trade Josh Rosen to, and let's establish what that's going to look like. And maybe you just do it quickly, and it doesn't have to take that long.
Right. The Giants have extra picks now. Maybe they would be, they make sense for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they like them, but they make sense for it.
I don't think there's any way they draft Murray and, like, leave Rosen there to back him up or something. Like,
There's one more thing.
And they're going to probably take a bath on the trade. I mean, they drafted, 10th overall was Rosen. Like, I don't know. What are they going to get for him?
Less.
Right.
But there's one more thing about the Giants in that. The Giants passed him up last year.
Right.
And that might be the kind of thing where they worry about.
Yeah.
You know, teams don't always worry about these things, but you know that they're not honest, and you know that they do think about a lot of the strategy. So I always want to make sure I consider all the strategy.
Yeah.
Do the Giants look bad? Barkley's so good that they probably
sure, no,
aren't. They can defend that.
Come on, yeah. Whether they'd be right or not, but their GM definitely was saying, come on, Saquon Barkley was the second pick in the draft. Shut up.
And if he gives a third up for Rosen, he'll be able to tell you all day long, well, that's a lot cheaper than he would have cost last year when you guys told me to do it.
Right.
That could be good for the Giants. All right, Sabres, Leafs tonight. What happens to the Sabres in the offseason? 803-0550, or what do you think should happen? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.